Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, and thanks very much for joining us. Coming up on this episode, we're going to speak to Cork Wildlife Rescue, who are looking for help from the corporate world as they move to new premises. We're also going to find out about a new blood testing service that's starting on a one high street, or main street as we call it here in Cork. But before we get to all of that, we're going to speak with an industry leader in the area of asset management, maintenance reliability and critical airflow environments. All sounds a little bit complicated, but will become a lot clearer as to how we all use that on a regular basis. ESS recently announced the acquisition of Critical Airflow Europe, which is the European leader in delivering safe and efficient laboratory control. Bernard Yor is the CEO of ESS, and we're going to talk about that acquisition, but also expansion at Cork's Airport Business Park. Bernard, how are you keeping?
Keeping very well, Jonathan, and thanks for having me on.
Now, the reason I say this is an important area is because we need labs to be clear so that all the things that we use in our day-to-day lives to keep us healthy can be trusted. So that's where ESS comes in, isn't it?
It is. I suppose if I kind of give a background of the story, I suppose ESS itself is not in the critical spaces, but in 2013, ESS bought AirData. And AirData, believe it or not, were a Cork company that were bought by the UK, by a UK company. And you could say we brought them back to Munster in 2013. So ESS themselves, they're experts in maintenance and asset management. They do three things that most people would know us for maintenance strategy, big companies with a lot of equipment, maybe hundreds of millions of euros worth of equipment. And we would go help with maintenance strategy to get the best value out of that equipment. We also provide technical resources, and ESS also provide the training of those technical resources. So that's ESS. And, you know, the group, we call it ESS Group now, having three companies is quite exciting for us. And then AirData. So AirData are critical environments, and that's how we got into critical environments with the clean room validation, commissioning and compliance. And that leads us into the story of how did we acquire Critical Airflow Europe? Well, AirData started to build a relationship about 7 years ago with Critical Airflow Europe. And I suppose, how did they build that relationship? Well, Critical Airflow Europe have products that work in critical environments. And you could say that AirData do everything in the clean rooms and in the labs below the ceiling, and these products are above the ceiling. We both had the same customers, pharmaceuticals, hospitals, labs, and we had feet on the ground in Ireland, and we sent some of our engineers over to the States and to Europe about 7 years ago, and we were able to commission Critical Airflow Europe products from then. And that relationship blossomed into this acquisition. I suppose two other things strengthened our relationship. One was, believe it or not, COVID. Being a UK company, Critical Airflow Europe, they couldn't travel to Ireland, and our engineers were able to commission some very important Irish projects. And then being a UK company, leaving the EU, and obviously we're in the EU, it made things easier for the EU market for us. So really exciting for us to think that we're expanding into European regions. Only recently finishing a job in Finland with Critical Airflow.
I mean, it's not bad considering where you started out, and it is very much a space that you mightn't consider yourself in. But can I tell you something from an expansion point of view? It makes a lot of sense because Critical Airflow Europe, I understand, help companies reduce carbon footprint, save millions of tons of carbon emissions. And that is the direction of travel for every business, no matter what they're doing.
It is. I mean, the three products that they've had for 30 years, the first one is Phoenix Controls. And it's in every single pharmaceutical in Ireland and the UK, but it's a recognised leader in really airflow control for critical environments. But it's also about, you know, sustainability and airflow management. The Strobic, the second product, Strobic Air, is really, what's easy to describe? It's for critical airflow exhaust. So you can imagine all the exhaust from labs, and it does it in a safe, practical, cost-effective, energy-efficient way. And the last product that they have is AirQuity, and it really is a clever product. It's about smart solutions. It's a open and easy kind of integrated platform for healthy and sustainable buildings. And it really does. It provides that accurate air quality measurement. So it's a business intelligence solution. So for customers that have sustainability or their environmental, social, governance factors, it really, really is a big contribution, all three products, for achieving, I suppose we say, net zero future. So hugely exciting.
Yeah, and it is it's a growth area, I can guarantee you that. You're opening these new offices at the Airport Business Park as well. First of all, how's that going, and what team have you got based there?
So the Airport Business Park, we are currently moving this week as we speak. So we have two offices. We have our current offices in the Rubicon, and they deserve a special mention. We're there almost 8 years, and the Rubicon are in MTU. They have been fantastic to us. They have helped certainly the Air Data side of the business scale up and go from 10 people to 40 people in its own entity. We've just outgrown those offices, so we're moving. What I would say about our new offices, they're up in Airways Business Park up near the airport, is that having our own workshops, having our own boardrooms, the staff have been involved in designing the office spaces and giving us room to expand probably for the next 5 years. So we have extra space. So it's, you know, again, very exciting.
Is most of the expansion going to come from abroad at this point, do you think, because of where you have it? Is there enough juice in the Irish lemon for a company like ESS?
It's hard to know. I mean, in Ireland, as we speak, I mean, it's very hard to even contain the amount of work that is coming at us. We've approximately in the group 240 employees, but just to give in Ireland, we've grown by 58 employees in the last 12 months. So that's Ireland alone. So it's expanding quite quickly. We probably have 25 open vacancies today, and 20 of them are in Ireland, and 5 would be in the UK. They're all in key roles in the fields of engineering and technicians. So, you know, I would say to people, if they were in those roles, feel free to go on our website, ESS Limited, and check out our open vacancies. So Ireland is still hugely exciting. There's huge growth in the pharmaceutical area. There's huge growth in the lab med tech space. We would be working with, certainly we see it with ESS, because we come in before they're even built to look at maintenance strategy and to look at the equipment strategy. We would be working with companies that are green fields. They haven't even, you know, put a...
There's not a block on the ground yet, but you're ready to help. ESSLTD.ie is the website address if you want to go and look at those jobs or indeed see what you do. We wish you continued success, Bernard. Thank you very much for investing in Cork, and hopefully next time you're on the podcast, you'll tell us of your next big adventure.
That would be fabulous. Thank you very much for having me, Jonathan.
When Julie Cronin and her late husband John Hannon set up Wildlife Rescue Cork in 2017, they cared for 38 animals. Now, since then, demand for services has soared, and the centre helps 400 rescues per year. Now they want to expand, and they need your help, business people of Cork. The chairperson of Wildlife Rescue Cork, Julie Cronin, how are you?
I'm very good, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's lovely to talk to you. First of all, tell us a little bit about what you do, because I know the clue is in the name, but it still doesn't go to the scale of the operation.
Yeah, so it's quite an unusual one, I suppose. So Wildlife Rescue Cork, we set up to rescue, rehabilitate and release injured and orphaned native Irish species. So basically, if you're traveling along or in your garden and you find an injured wild animal, we are the service then that can come and help you try and fix up that animal and get them back into the wild.
So just to give us an idea of what you have at the moment, what is in the centre right now?
So in the centre at the minute, I have pigeons, doves, heron, swan, I have ducklings, I have fox cubs, I have leverets, which are baby hares. I have a numerous varieties then of small garden birds as well. So it's a real mixture. And this time of year now is kind of where it starts to kick off with baby season. So a lot of babies kind of get into a bit of trouble, or they're predated, or people cut down their hedges, which isn't allowed at this time of year. And just they kind of get into a bit of bother. So this time of year, kind of starting from April really through to September, is our busiest time of year.
I mean, it sounds like there'd be great crack if they started mixing up. I know you put a lot of effort into making sure that you keep the same species together, because I'd say the badger and the fox would have great crack if they got out. The whole project right now is effectively in your back garden, isn't it?
It is. So when myself, my husband set up this thing back in 2017, we built this purpose-built garage by ourselves, just thinking this would be enough now for our entire lives, really. You know, we shouldn't ever need to expand or anything like that. And just year on year, more and more people of Cork are finding things and looking for help. And it's fantastic, you know, that people know the importance of wildlife and helping them have a second chance. But at the same time, we're now kind of overextended in the premises that we're in. And we have done some expansion. We're currently doing more because this year kicked off faster than expected. We were busier through the winter months, which is highly unusual. But we kind of are trying to put in porch cabins and things now to try and help us with the overflow and try and do a professional job, because it's not just about taking in hundreds of animals. Each animal needs specific things from us. So you need to be giving a professional service to the animals as well, not just taking in hundreds of animals that you can't care for properly. So we're trying to make the facilities now so that it's you know, really structured species together, and it just gives them a better chance of successful rehabilitation.
You're very passionate about this, but that stems from the fact that I think you worked in wildlife rescue all your life. I mean, you worked previously as a ranger in FOTA, and I think you're still working in that area as well as keeping the centre going. So where did the passion for the native species come from?
So I suppose it started back, I always loved animals, but back in 2010, I went to Durban in South Africa and I worked as a volunteer in a wildlife rehabilitation centre called Crow. And it really just sparked something in me that I just saw such a need for that work. You know, there's an awful lot of charities doing domestic species and they're overrun and overwhelmed. So it's only a handful in Ireland doing the wildlife rescue. So I suppose I just loved seeing all the different unusual species and how you can help them. I then moved to Canada. I worked over there in a wildlife centre, Critter Care Wildlife Society. And then I moved to Scotland and worked in Heselhead Wildlife Rescue. So kind of coming back, then I worked for the ISPCA for a while and then I went to FOTA. So it's kind of always wildlife for me that's been kind of a passion and an interest. And I suppose then working, starting the charity, then I suppose just really cemented for me the importance of the work that we're doing here and the volunteer base that I have behind me, and we know how important it is.
I mentioned your late husband John. He passed away in 2019, and he was your partner in this particular crime because he set the charity up together. Was it hard to keep going, Julie, or are you doing it as much in his memory as to help the animals?
Yeah, I suppose it was something he was really passionate about as well. He used to love coming with me when we'd go on rescues, and you know, he loved caring for the animals here. So it was difficult the first couple of months afterwards. You know, I was exhausted as well because I'd been caring for him for a couple of years, and you know, I just was very tired. So I was really lucky that Sharon, one of the volunteers, really took hold of the rescue whilst I was kind of incapacitated myself. She drove it on, and now we're kind of a good little group moving it on together. But I suppose it was always important for him that I continued this work, because the need for it is just, it's huge, and there just isn't people doing it. So it was kind of on a knife edge for me. You know, did I have the energy to kind of pick everything back up, start again and continue on, because this was expanding as well. So it wasn't just going back to, you know, a small rescue. Like, this has become a huge operation now. So it was very important to him, and he had said it to me, like, you need to keep going, you need to move along with your life, you need to keep this going, you know, it's really good work. But it did take a while for me to bounce back into it.
But you are keeping going, and the next project is to move, isn't it? So you need money to move, and I think you're looking to raise, what, about 50,000 to get to where you need to be?
Yeah, so I suppose we were looking at different options of kind of how to make this successful. And, you know, as we said, it's in my back garden now. It's purpose built and it's all, you know, secure and everything. But the need for the different species is just way past the remit of what I have facilities here for. So the ideal situation is to either lease, long-term lease, or if there was a sponsor out there that would help us with purchasing a small area. That's all we're looking for, really, without buildings, and just kind of a little secure area that's quite quiet, because wildlife needs a lot of quiet and peace to recuperate. So we had looked at one or two options, but unfortunately they didn't work out. So, you know, it's just about trying to find the right fit and get the right people behind us, who, you know, I suppose investors that understand the importance of what we do and that they believe in us and our work, and get those behind us then and try and figure out a solution.
Okay, so you have the ears of the business people of Cork who listen to this podcast. What is the ask? What do you want them to do right now?
Yeah, so we're looking for a corporate sponsorship, and so that can come in a manner of ways, whether it's donating specific equipment, whether it is saying for 5 years we pledge this amount of money. You know, we have different you know, things that we need. So, like, we need incubators, we need more veterinary kind of pods. You know, we have two porch cabins now that we're trying to retrofit, and one is going to be a dedicated water bird area. These can all go with us when we move to the new site, but because we don't have that site at the minute, I'm trying to now create that here at the home. So we have those bought, but there's huge investment needed to refurbish all of those. For example, some of the duckling bats that you can rear ducks in, they are about €4,000 for the amount that we need. So, again, there's kind of different levels of help needed. And I just am so appreciative of the people of Cork. You know, we are pretty much 80% funded by public donations. You know, the people of Cork are excellent, and you'll never hear me say anything otherwise. They're so generous with their money and their time of helping and driving animals to us. But we're kind of at a point now where corporate sponsorship is the next step. And, you know, I never thought I'd be at this point. I thought I would just be in my garden, pottering around, you know, helping a couple of animals a year. But already this year, we've taken in nearly 160 animals in the first 5 months, which is just unheard of. So if there are businesses out there that, you know, understand what we're doing, the importance of what we're doing, and are interested in helping, I'm pleased to reach out to us. We would be so delighted.
Okay, well, you can be found on Instagram primarily. So Wildlife Rescue Cork, if you search that up, you'll find the link there, and you can drop Julie a message there directly. Julie, we wish you the best of luck. It's not a huge ask, but the return is significant. Julie Cronin of Wildlife Rescue Cork, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us in Red Business.
Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Access Laboratories is a business offering direct access to blood testing without referral from a doctor. They turn around the results in as little as 48 hours. Its founder and senior medical scientist is Patricia Macropoulos. Her vision was to bring healthcare to the high street, and she's doing that now, initially in Middleton. Patricia, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Jonathan. How are you? I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can I ask you why? Why did you set this business up?
Well, actually, it was a product of my own personal healthcare journey back in 2020, actually, when COVID was around. I needed blood tests done, and I was traveling up and down to Dublin two or three times a week, and it was so stressful. And I thought, why can't we get this service in Cork? So, I thought, okay, then why don't I bring the service to Cork? So I'm already a state registered medical scientist, so that wasn't a problem. And I went off and trained as a phlebotomist. I did advanced phlebotomy as well, and just wanted to bring the service from, you know, the comprehensive service from the very start, from blood collection right through to reporting the results. So it was a seamless process, you know.
If you were to ask me now before I spoke to you, is that, well, you go to the GP and the GP does the blood test, and you wait a couple of days and you might get the results back, or you have to ring them. So how is this different?
So I suppose what we do is we do same day or next day appointments, and we also provide services for, say, clinics abroad. So we do a lot of fertility work. So I do blood work for fertility clinics in Greece, Hungary, Poland. And a lot of these bloods are very time sensitive, Jonathan. So people need them done in a specific day. And unfortunately, our healthcare services are under, you know, a lot of pressure. And some GPs would only collect maybe on certain days because they may not have anyone to take the bloods. And a lot of the people that I deal with, you know, they may need them on a specific day, and there's very little flexibility with that. And I also do work for a healthcare practitioner such as nutritional therapists who may need specific blood work done. Some of the work that I do is very specific, and it's just not offered routinely through GP services. So, okay. I mean, the GPs do an amazing job keeping our society and our community healthy, but sometimes the specialists that I deal with, they may need something more specific that's not routinely available.
The problem with doing anything clinical is you have to have pathways if anything goes wrong. So, I mean, is that where your expertise comes in? If you see something on a blood test that isn't right, you can escalate it.
Yeah, well, so I suppose we, my accredited laboratory partners, we have medical governance through them. And I don't advise on the results because I don't have somebody's full medical history. And I make that very clear from the onset. Usually the people that I have coming here are relatively healthy. They may just want to optimize their health. If somebody is unwell, I refer them directly to their GP, and all the results are come with a caveat that you should seek medical advice if there's anything out of spec or outside the normal range. Because, you know, family history is a huge factor. Medical history is a huge factor. And, you know, sometimes people won't be quite open about medications that they're on for various reasons. You know, medical history is obviously something that's, you know, very personal. So I always say you have to go and get your GP, if necessary, to review them with respect to your family history or medical history. And to be honest, Jonathan, I do have GPs referring people to me because I can get the results back within 24 to 48 hours, which is, you know, fantastic for anything that needs to be triaged. So,
and do you do the processing yourself? Is it an outside lab? How does it work?
No, so I don't actually process them here. So Middleton, we have our collection hub, and I use accredited laboratories, some of the biggest global providers of health screening and health testing. So the reason I do that is because they're all working to ISO international standards. So I was, maybe in the future, I will do some local testing for things that need a more rapid turnaround. But at the moment, the, you know, you have to make sure that you're working to international standards, to international guidelines, and the accreditation associated with kind of this kind of work, you know, it has to be held to the highest possible standards because it's people's health that we're dealing with.
Ultimately, and you're not joining the long list in a hospital, which is where most of these blood tests go initially.
Yeah.
You're kind of thrown at the back of that list.
Yeah.
The other side of this, and from a business perspective, I'm presuming this is something that's scalable. You're in Middleton right now. You're trading there.
Yes.
But arguably, yes, you could be on any street in any town, could you?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So I suppose places like Dublin, they're pretty well serviced with similar services to what I'm doing. But Cork and the southern region, you know, we've got the largest province, county in Ireland. And unfortunately, services like mine are very sparse. So yes, the plan is to open another hub. Watch this space. But at the moment, this is the pilot project just to, you know, to make sure that everything is running smoothly and to get all the logistics and everything in place.
Well, so the website is accesslabs.ie, and Patricia and the team will look after you there in Middleton.
Yes.
Patricia Macropoulos, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for taking
the time
to talk
to us.
Thank you
so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks, Jonathan. Have a lovely day.
And that's it for this episode of Red Business. Thank you so much for listening. Karina Buckley was our producer today. Don't forget, Red Business in Focus is available 24/7. That's our complimentary video series on our website, redfm.ie. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business Podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.